السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده، واجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers, this is part of an ayat which I have recited, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, جاہدو فی اللہ حق جہادی، strive in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, fulfilling the rights of that striving. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has chosen you and he has not made anything difficult for you in your deen. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجِ، and that is the part that comes to mind on which I wish to speak today. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself addressing the believers, Allah ta'ala says that he has not made anything difficult for you in your deen. Unfortunately, when we look at deen, when we look at Islam, when we look at Sharia, Quran and Sunnah, then we find everything difficult. Our creator is Allah ta'ala and he is a very, very loving, very compassionate, very merciful creator. So how can he make things difficult? Allah Ta'ala himself is saying in his Quran Sharif ayat that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he has not made things difficult. The gist of that ayat is that Allah Ta'ala has not made things difficult. He does not want to make things difficult. In fact, in another ayat in which Allah Ta'ala speaks about Ramadan fast, then with regards to those who are sick and ailing, after having mentioned them and those people who are on journeys, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that yuridu Allahu bikumul yusra wala yuridu bikumul usra, which again means that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala desires for you ease. Allah ta'ala does not desire for you difficulty. Allah ta'ala does not desire for you anything that will make your life narrow, tightened, straightened. Allah Ta'ala does not want a kind of a life for you in which you will be oppressed or suppressed, or you will feel cornered. You will feel you just can't practice on this deen and sharia. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala does not want to make life difficult or miserable for us. He wants to make life easy and simple for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's coming to the ummah and coming to mankind in general was again for the very same reason and for the very same purpose: to show man that which is good for him, to show him that which is beneficial for him in this world, in the qabr and the akhirat. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Again, very clearly demonstrating and very, very clearly explaining the fact that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself came amongst the people. Rasulun min anfusikum, that's the first part of it, that from amongst yourselves. When a person is from amongst that community, he's amongst that people, then he understands what are the needs of that community, what are the needs of that society, what are the needs of the people, what is the temperament of the people, what is the nature of the people, and what is it that causes them hurt and grief and sorrow and pain. He understands all that. And here he is guided by Allah Ta'ala, who is again the creator of man and jinn and the heavens and the earth. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala again informs us that it is very, very difficult upon him. In other words, it distresses him. If there is anything that causes you pain and hurt, or anything that causes you difficulty, then that is very difficult upon the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm just giving you an explanation. That the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is also rahmatul lil alameen, mercy unto the worlds. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is rabbul alameen, is the Lord of the world, sustainer of the worlds. Allah ta'ala is raufur rahim. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is raufur rahim. Very, very kind, very, very merciful. So how can one who is so merciful make life difficult and miserable for anyone? So in Shariat, in Quran and Sunnah, there is nothing but that which is good for man and which is easy. It is not complicated. It is not difficult. The difficulty is that we present Islam in such a way as if there's so much to do in Islam. And then it becomes like a burdensome thing. Because most of it is not farz, it's not wajib. We introduce a lot of things in our lives which sometimes are good. Nafil, namazes, zikr, tilawat. Now all these things are good and they should be done in moderation. But sometimes we read the different books that are now being published and different kinds of pamphlets that are being published. And the internet, of course, is a world of its own. So people are told, read this, do that. Now so many things they are told that finally they think that we just cannot practice on these things. So therefore it is written in the kitabs that when Allah Ta'ala says that there is no haraj, there is no difficulty. Then from the mukallaf, the person who has to practice, the person who has to act upon all those injunctions and teachings of Islam, Allah Ta'ala has removed that which is difficult. It is not complicated deen, it is simple. So it is explained that if a person has to look at all the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, then he will find that there are lots of concessions that has been given. Because if a person who has accepted Islam, if this difficulty, narrowness, tight corner the person is being put into, or the person is distressed, or is oppressed or suppressed by that religion and by that deen, so then it would have caused one of the three problems. Either this person, if he was told that you must read this, you must read that, you must read that, and whole day you must fast, and whole night you must stand in prayer, if that had been compulsory, so then if he had to make amal on that, and if he had to practice on that all his life, then after a few days he would have got tired, and he would have said that the Islam is not for us. And if he was one of those that was practicing and he said that whatever happens, I can die, but I'm going to practice. So then what would have happened is that it would have affected his brains, he would have affected his health, and he would have been in a very, very difficult situation. His brain cells would have been dehydrated then. And this person's health would have been affected. One sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr ibn Al-As radiyallahu ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that I've heard that you fast every day and you stay awake whole night. He said, yes, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I do that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, fast and don't fast. Sometimes fast, sometimes don't keep fast. Stay awake too and sleep too. That means part of the night, stay awake, part of the night, sleep. And then the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, he said that as far as your eyes are concerned, they have a right over you. فَإِنَّ لِعَيْنِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. That these things also have a right over you. Your eyes have a right over you. Your body has a right over you. Your wife has a right over you. So now if you're going to fast whole day, every day of your life, and you're going to stay awake the whole night, then how will you be able to fulfill the other rights? So look at the balance Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam brought. Anyone else would have congratulated him and said, mashallah, mashallah, your wife can go to hell, never mind. don't bother about it. Your children, they can keep on asking for food and clothing and other expenses. Don't bother about that. You just make your namaz and stay awake all night. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen. So therefore I said the second thing that could have happened, that if this person went out of his way to obey those instructions which were difficult and which were beyond every human being's ability, normal human beings, then he would have said that Islam is not for me. Or if he carried on doing it, then it would have affected his health and this person would have then given up. And the third thing is that in that fulfillment of those kind of very, very difficult obligations and duties and responsibilities of ibadah, zikr, tilawat, this person would have then completely neglected the rights of others which I just mentioned now. The rights of the wife, the rights of the family, the rights of the children, the rights of earning his livelihood and everything else would have been affected. Therefore, if you have to look at Islam, it is a very, very beautiful religion, and this is necessary that when we are explaining Islam to people who are wanting to know more about Islam, then we don't start off on all those things that are prohibited and which they will find very difficult as a start. There is another problem with us, that when somebody asks us about Islam, then instead of talking about the beautiful teachings of Islam, talking about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's greatness and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's glory and Allah ta'ala's favors upon men, and look at the creation of Allah ta'ala, how everything is benefiting man, and how he himself within his body, he can see how many bounties of Allah ta'ala are functioning. Look at the heart, the liver, the lungs, the eyes, the ears, the nose. The research is unending, that medical research is unending. From how many years they are researching, every day there is something new discovery. And yet Allah Ta'ala fitted everything in the mother's stomach for him and made it so easy for him. So when you talk about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, they come closer. Then after that, when they accept Islam, then you go into the details. Not that first day you start reading out the whole of Hidayah to them and all Bukhari Sharif and Tirmizi Sharif to them. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself says that, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينَ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Look at the namaz. If you cannot stand and read, then sit and read. If you cannot sit and read, then lie down and read. But read the namaz. You cannot make wuzu, then make tayammu. So if Allah Ta'ala made namaz farz, then look at all the concessions that have been given. It is not made difficult that it is beyond the person's ability. In fact, in these days when a person is talking to a university student or somebody else that is just coming freshly into Islam, or the person has was far away from deen and just starting his namaz, and the person asks that how many rakats of namaz for Isha, then you say 17 rakats, and then we start saying 4 sunnah, 4 farz, 2 sunnah, 2 nafil, 3 witr and 2 nafil. By the time you finish up with the 17, he says, that's not within my power. So at such a time it is said that don't go to all the nafil and everything straight away. Tell him at least start off with 4 rakat farz. Make 2 rakat sunnah and 3 rakat witr namaz. Make it properly. Inshallah you will get pass mark. Inshallah you will get pass mark if you make 4 rakat farz, 2 sunnah and which is Mu'akkada and 3 Witr. After that, when he starts getting the taste of that namaz and the benefits of that namaz, then he will want to make it himself or introduce it gradually. So Shariat is very, very beautiful. So there too in that ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about fasting being made compulsory, obligatory, but immediately after that Allah Ta'ala is saying for the sick, for the weak and for those on suffer and all that, the concessions that have been given. And after that Allah Ta'ala says, Allah does not intend to make life difficult for you. Allah Ta'ala wants to give ease. If we make it difficult for ourselves, then we must blame ourselves. So if we have to look at those things which are obligatory, which are farz, which are compulsory, or those things which we term as wajib or sunnat muakkada, then they are very few. The rest of the day Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us. Then they within every person's ability and capacity, he must do how much he can. A person wants to get just not pass mark, he wants to get distinction. If he's writing an examination, will everybody be satisfied with just a pass mark? Everybody wants distinction. They want A. So why not when it comes to namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, ibadat, zikr, tilawat? So there too, we should not just wait for a pass mark. But at least a pass mark to is something that the person has achieved. So we will say that start with that, then after that you can make gradual progress. So this haraj and difficulty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says He has removed. So if a person is finding anything very difficult in Islam, then we will say it is not the Islam that has made life difficult. It is we who have created such an environment around ourselves that we have made life difficult for ourselves. We are making life difficult for ourselves. If we cannot practice, then it is for some reason that we have made difficult for ourselves. We have created such an environment around us. If we have to look at our nikahs, we have to look at our walimas, if we have to look at all the other things that Islam recommends and encourages, then there is no difficulty in it at all. It is simple, it is basic, it is practical. As you have heard many times, I mentioned that if you have to look at all the teachings of Islam, then Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi should say, it's Ashal Ajmal Akmal. Very easy, very beautiful, and it is perfect. Now if we say that no, you must have a big hall, and you must have this, and you must have that, and the cards must be distributed, and after that the food costs also, we know now what price it is, and all the decoration and everything else. Now if that person says, after having got my one daughter married, Molana, I gave up, I can't get my other three daughters married. So will we say that Islam made it difficult? So look at all the teachings of Islam. Namaz is five times a day. But look at all the concessions that have been given with regards to wuzu and safar and all other kinds of things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran Sharif says, wa'lamu anna feekum Rasool Allah. And know well that amongst you is the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in their midst, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطْعِيُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ. If only Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he had to obey you in most of the affairs and matters, then it would have caused you difficulty. Allah Ta'ala is informing us that if Rasul of Allah Ta'ala had to listen to us, and say that the Shariat was made according to our whims and our fancies and our desires, it would have made life difficult for us. Because we know that our mindset, what it is. And we cannot think and we cannot look further than our noses. The Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he receives wahi from Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala knows what's going to happen till the day of Qiyamah. And Allah Ta'ala knows that people will come in the 10th century, 15th century, 20th century, 25th century. Allah Ta'ala knows who is going to come and what the environment is going to be. So therefore the deen of Islam and Sharia is for all times till the day of Qiyamah. And look at the concessions that Allah Ta'ala has given. Islam is so beautiful, if you have to only look deep into it. It's not made as difficult and narrow and tight as we make it out to be. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majmaini, if I have to tell you, then you may say that this is from his pocket that he says. Look it up in the kitabs. That whilst they were out in the battle, if the clothes of the enemies came into their possession, clothes of the enemies who were fighting against them came into their possession. And now at that time we know that there was not sufficient water all around to wash clothes or send to the laundry and do dry cleaning. They're out in the battlefields. So they used those clothes without even washing them, unless there was a very clear sign of impurity or najasat on it. Now everybody will say that the clothes that were worn by those who were not even believers, there is every likelihood and possibility of there being najasat on it. Which person really washed it according to his, how Sharia says you must wash our clothes? But in the battlefield if it came, now they said that they used it. They did not go into great the amount of tahqeeq and investigation and detail that where these clothes came from, who wore it and did he wear it, did it come out of his bag or did it, that after he used it, he put it one side, what was, they got it, now they used it, even for namaz purposes. If they were moving and traveling and they saw water there, and time came for namaz, now everyone knows that in the jungle some elephant must have drank from there, some lion must have drank from that water. But they didn't see any elephant, they didn't see any lion, they didn't see any dog urinating, there nothing they saw water there. So now they didn't stop there and start making investigation that since how long is this pool here and pond here and water here and which animals are there in this jungle and they come here normally and drink nothing, no investigation. They said, you make wuzu from this water and you can even drink this water and you can even cook your food with this water. Look at Islam, how beautiful, how easy. We have made life difficult for ourselves when we go into too much of investigation in every little thing. Sharia did not tell us to go into such deep, deep investigation. And then after that, we go into a battle and a war over every little thing. So Sharia is very, very beautiful. Islam is very beautiful. I should always give that one example. But then one lady phoned and she said, Mawlana, it's a little bit of insult to the women folk. So first I apologize if some women folk are listening. But in any case, they said that the full moon was shining. Full moon, very, very bright and shiny. So everybody was looking up and saying how beautiful the full moon. One lady had just changed the baby's napkin. So there was a little bit of stool under her fingernails. Because many ladies keep shaitan's nails. 1 meter long nails. So now something must have been underneath. And they also have a habit of putting their fingers by the nose when they're looking up. So while she was looking up, now the smell from the fingernail came into her nostrils. So she looked at the moon and she said, the moon is very beautiful, but tonight it seems that there's a bit of stench and smell coming from the moon. It's an example. So now was the stench coming from the moon or coming from her fingernails? So like that, Islam is like that beautiful moon. It's shining from whichever angle you look at it. There's nothing but beauty in Islam. If we are finding things difficult when it comes to talaq laws and when it comes to other kind of matters, then we blame Islam, Islam, Islam. Why do we blame Islam? We should first study Islam, we should understand Islam, we should practice upon Islam. When it comes to inheritance laws, why blame Islam? If the person hasn't made a proper Islamic will, then why blame Islam for it? Blame him for it. So Islam is beautiful. There is no weakness in Islam. There is no weakness at all in the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. There is no deficiency in it. It's nothing but perfection from whichever angle you look at it. If there is a weakness, then it's the weakness is within ourselves. It's in our homes, in our lives, in our businesses, in our campuses, in our bazaars, in our marketplaces. The weakness is there. And most of that is what we have introduced ourselves. So therefore what I am suggesting is that even if there is weakness in our lives and we all know that we are weak, extremely weak, we must not be proud and arrogant and boast that we are perfect. There is nobody perfect. Everybody has got his own weaknesses and faults and shortcomings. But the mu'min and the Muslim, he realizes his faults, his weaknesses, his shortcomings and he turns towards Allah Ta'ala and he begs for forgiveness. Mera har khata pe rona yahi hai meri talafi, mera har khata pe rona yahi hai meri talafi, teri rahmaton ka sadqa mera jurm afw karna. So we know as human beings there will be mistakes, but then he turns towards Allah Ta'ala and says, I acknowledge my mistakes, I don't justify my mistakes. Now that is one weakness of our society which we have to make serious amends and changes in, and that is that we justify a lot of our sins instead of finding the faults in ourselves and accepting and acknowledging and asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. We justify our faults and weaknesses and we find the faults in Islam, in Quran, in Sunnah. Now I was going to discuss the other ayat, but there's no time. Time has expired. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the love for Islam and the Islamic teachings and make our life such that we become an attraction for other people to come into Islam instead of distancing them. At present they are being distanced because of our actions, our way of life, our character, the usage of our tongue, the way that we treat people who are our subordinates, the way that we talk to our maids and our staff and our workers and our laborers and our own children and our wives, or the way the wives talk to the husbands. Now all these things are causing great amount of rift and friction and disunity and disharmony. But the moment we come back on track and we say, I want to follow the Quran and Sunnah and the beautiful life example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then see what harmony, what unity, what peace, what tranquility, what sukoon. And as I always say, then we will have Jannat on earth. Jannat is still far away. Mana ke meer gulshan hai, Jannat to dur hai. Arif hai magar dil mein khaliq hai Jannat liye hue. Then we will find Jannat in our homes. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you and the entire ummah with the tawfiq of amal and remove the pain, suffering and difficulty of mankind around the globe and especially the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.